We'll probably be sharing three times at night, tonight, tomorrow night, and we're not sure about the next night. But I have kind of a theme, a subject that the Lord has given me, and I want to try to share, you know, his heart in this, and what he's shown me. And then, of course, I want the Spirit of God to go beyond anything I know, that he may touch our hearts, that he may fill us, fill our spirit with his ways and his nature. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Or Lucas. And I want to look at starting with verse 25. Or 25 for those that speak Spanish.
And try to translate in Dutch.
Right. This is Jesus, or speaking of Jesus, this certain lawyer, it says, is speaking to him. And verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Verse 26, "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do and live. This do and thou shalt live. This do and live.'" And we'll stop there. In these verses, I begin to see two different minds. The mind of man and the mind of the Lord. And the contrast, the difference, the distance. And the mind of man is seeking benefits. He's seeking, what do I have to do? I'll do it. But tell me what that I have to do to get something, to get these benefits. And the benefit is that he wanted to inherit the Father's kingdom, you know, eternal life, Father's kingdom. And we know that eternal life is not just something you get when you get saved, because eternal life is without beginning and without end. Eternal. Well, when we got Jesus, we had a start, but no end if we're with the Lord. But he is without beginning and without end. So he's asking for Jesus' inheritance.
He's, oh boy.
Yeah. From the Father, basically. And Jesus, this is his answer. Jesus points him to the Word of God. The Word of God. He points him to the Word. What does the Word say? And we find that the Word says to a man who says, what do I do to get? And he says that you would love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and all of your might, and all of your mind. That's completely different than what he's asking. He's saying, tell me what to do. And he's thinking, I have to do good works. I have to do this. I have to do that. And Jesus is saying, your focus is wrong. Your focus is on you. Your focus is on what you can get from me, from God, what you can get from God. And I'm telling you that basically, love the Lord thy God with everything you got. This is life. This is eternal life. So he's seeking stuff for himself. He seeks something to do outwardly, and Jesus says, you have to change inwardly. The way that you are, you'll never get it. because it's not in you. What's in you is what I can get from God. Give me this. Do this for me. Heal me. Bless me. Me, me, me. How do you say me in Belgium? Dutch. Neck? Ick. Oh, ick. Ick. And it's icky.
Me, myself, and I.
That's it. My helper. Yeah. Ick. It is ick. Boy, the Lord, I wonder if he arranged that from before the foundation of the world. And of course, what he's saying, and it looks like our folks have just arrived. Come on, Nancy, you can get out of that back seat. There you go. Yeah. All right, so they'll be in just a moment. So they're saying, seek the Father, or seek God, and do it out of a heart of love. I don't think he was expecting that. He's expecting, tell me, and I will do it, and I'll be good, and I'll be just what God wants. And God's saying, you're not what I want.
Thank you, Lord.
I want my Son in you. My Son. I put Jesus. I put the Christ in you. And that's my desire. That's eternal life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the response of the lawyer was that he justifies himself. It says that in the scripture. He justifies himself. He's going, oh, okay, you know, I don't do that. My focus isn't the Lord. My focus isn't, Lord, I love you. I'm here for you. I want you. It's, Lord, I'm here for me, and I want you to give for me. You see that spirit? You see the difference? And so he knows his motives. He wants to justify, you know. And Jesus had said also, and love your neighbor you know. And he says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus is going to explain that more as we go. But the thing that I noticed was that he was willing to justify himself in the face of Jesus. To Jesus' face right here, and he justifies himself. He doesn't say, I want to love you with everything in me. I want that to be number one. I want to love you, Jesus. I want to love you. I want to do it with every part of me. I think there are parts in me that does love you that way, but there's parts in me that don't. Maybe with my heart, but not my soul, or not my mind, or not my... Because Jesus said, with all your heart, your soul, strength and might and everything. He didn't fall on his face and say, this is now what I will do the rest of my life. I will no longer make it about me. Remember that, Carol? It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about him. If I gather and he wants to bless me, that's his business. But I'm going to seek to bless him.
That's right.
Him. Yeah. From my heart. Not, Lord, pour it out on me. Pour the oils on me. You know? No, I pour the oils on you. So, as I was thinking about this, I was also in Luke, and it's in Luke chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. And we'll read verse 41. We'll temporarily go to 45, okay? Ready? Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Jesus said, this is the way that you seek me. This is the way that you seek my heart, that you seek from your heart, my heart, from your strength, my strength, from your mind, my mind. Let what's in you, Jesus, come into me. And so they have Jesus with them. Okay? But then he's not there. Where's Jesus? Have you ever asked that question? Where is Jesus? I don't know. What'd you do with him? You know? So this is their state now. They are seeking Jesus, and what we want to do is look at their motive. What's the word for motive? Oh, that's perfect. I almost said it. The motive for seeking him. We say, well, just seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. With what motive? What's our motive? Because it makes a difference. Because Jesus said to seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love Him in it. Love Him with your strength by giving it up so that He'll be your strength. You know? Love Him with your mind by letting His mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. To lose self, to understand being crucified with Christ, to understand that by His mind, not by our mind. And how it just bleeds through our pores, because we become saturated with His mind and His heart and His motives. So same chapter, chapter 2, verse 46 now. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. In verse 47, and all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. Verse 48, but when they saw Him, they were amazed, and His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Jesus, why are you dealing with us like this? Have you ever said that before? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now we're finding motive. Now we're finding motive. Oh, we're seeking Jesus. Yeah, I'm seeking Him for what I can get. You know, I need Jesus so that I'll be tranquil, I'll be peaceful, I'll be, oh, I have Jesus, you know. But it's about my emotions. It's about my situation. I need Jesus. You know, can you imagine the parents looking around, they're leaving the feast, and they look around and He's not there. Can you imagine thinking, what are all these people thinking about me and Joseph? You know, you lost your son? You know. So we get the point that maybe there's other motives working. I look foolish. We need to bring Him back with us. You know, so this thing of seeking Him for that, and did I skip a verse here somehow? You have your Bible, don't you, Kelly?
Yeah.
I said, did I leave out a verse? 49. Would you read verse 49 for me?
And He said unto them, how is it that ye sought Me? Knew you not that I must be about My Father's business?
Okay, so Jesus' answers, we need to always be careful because we don't usually get it. And He's saying, how is it that you sought Me? What method were you using? What was your motive? How were you going about this? And then He says, don't you know that I have to be about My Father's business? I have to be about My Father's business. And how is it you didn't know that? Apparently, how old was he?
12
years old. Apparently, for 12 years, he kind of understood or thought that they understood something about Him. That there was something in his heart for the Father. But he's going, How is it? Remember what he said to Philip? Mm-hmm. Have I been so long with you and you don't know me? Mm-hmm. He's looking at Joseph and Mary. Saints, not really. And saying, you, talking to saints and saying, you don't know me. You know, how is it that you, Jesus was also a little, I'll use a word everyone knows, befuddled. He was, don't worry, the next verse says, and they understood not what he was saying. So, the whole thing was, it says for 3 days they're looking for him. Oh, I'm, you know, can you imagine somebody saying, hey, there's that couple, they were at the feast, how y'all doing? We're busy, what's going on? It says, well, we're seeking Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, no, and we're seeking Jesus, and, you know, well, you seem a little agitated. You seem a little turmoil, upset,
nervous,
out of their minds, you know, walking on their hands upside down. I don't know. Okay. So, for 3 days they're looking for him. Where were they looking? Okay, they probably go to the playground where the children play, the 12-year-olds. He's on the slide or the swings. Who knows where all they're looking? The last place they look is in the temple. All right, now we... when we feel like we need to get hold of Jesus, we go to the church building, or we go to the pastor, or we go to, you know, prayer, and we look up and we're going, we need you, Jesus. I need you now in this situation. We're looking everywhere but in the temple. Back then, that was the temple. For us, the temple is right here. And we're not looking here and saying, you're my life. I'm crucified with you. I don't have to fret over all these things. I have you as my life. But they're saying, we don't have you. So the last place they looked was the temple, because after that, you quit looking because he was there. But anyway, just a thought. My mind gets me in trouble all the time. So one of the things that the Lord is trying to show us here is that, number one, you never lose Jesus. You feel like he's gone, but he's not gone. And I'll give you... well, maybe I should do that here. I'm not sure if I have that. But if we're seeking the blessings, and Jesus is saying, don't, you know, in the first part with the lawyer, it's not about seeking the blessings. It's not about seeking the promises. Seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus says this. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And they're looking at him and saying, are you talking about Joseph? You're not doing carpentry work. Can you see how that would be a little confusing? You're not doing carpentry work, and here's your father. And he's saying, no, I must be about my Father's business. He's saying, for the first time, maybe they're getting it, I have another father. I have another reality. And get this, he's saying, I have not abandoned you. I am going after my Father with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. And that's why, you know, that's where I've been. That's what's going on. And we're seeing that to Jesus, there's something greater than just blessing his parents and blessing the lawyer with this and blessing and taking care of. And in the church, many times we make Jesus there only for us. That's why we come here. Oh, Lord, bless me. Help me. And so when he doesn't do that, we get confused because we don't know he has something more important than us. It's his Father.
Amen.
And he's going to bless his Father. He's going to seek his Father. He's going to pour himself out for the Father. And that's his heart. And he's informing them, you know, from now on, you know, I'm going to be about his business, not yours. Yes, I'm going to come home. I'm going to submit. But I want you to know that I have another Father, and you need to recognize that.
Was Mary the forgotten this?
What?
Was Mary, his mother, forgotten this from her Jesus?
Maybe so, because she was all worried, you know, where is he? You know, and we're uncomfortable because he's not here. And he's saying, I'm sorry about your lack of comfort. But I'm going to be about my Father's business. And they might say, well, this is even more uncomfortable. When we want you to do something or whatever, you know, in other words, you can feel a sense of abandonment. Like, where is Jesus when I need him? Mm-hmm. Is that starting to come clear a little bit? We feel that. And we don't know, like the lawyer who said, what do I have to do? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all everything that you've got. And put that first and make him what you're seeking and blessing and pouring out and being there for him. Because that's what's in Jesus. Here's the picture. Here's the proof. That's what's in Jesus. And so, you know, as I was reading this, I was looking at it and going, you know, I think that we at times think that he's gone, like he disappeared there. Because he did disappear. He went back. And in that we go, well, where's Jesus? And, you know, doesn't he know that I have this need right here? Doesn't he know I need this? But he's not here. You can be assured if he's not there, he's taking care of the Father. It's his business that he's concerned with. And we wouldn't feel so bad if we were working with him towards the Father's business, you know. Our heart was there and we're right beside Jesus pouring out. But the truth is we're right in Jesus. And he's in us. But it's like you ask, what about Mary? Didn't she remember? What about us? Don't we remember? That he lives in us. That it's his life. And then, but we make it about our life. And where's this? And why didn't you do that? And, you know, I don't understand. We don't understand. And that's the exact next words. They understood not what he was talking about. So, I was thinking about, let's see if I've even got that scripture here. I was thinking about years later at the wedding of Cana.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is there and mom's there. Yeah. Mother Mary. Let me get over this for a second here. And so somebody comes and says, there's no wine. We need wine for the wedding. This is going to end badly. The couple does not want to start their future together without their everybody feeling good. And so, sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway, so Jesus says, or Mary says, oh, well, here's Jesus. Just do whatever he tells you. Well, she's thinking in terms of a miracle. Because, you know, that's what we do. Jesus, do a miracle. I don't feel bubbly. Like, boom, I don't know. Wine, you know, has bubbles. Yeah. Okay. I don't feel what?
I'm a little flat.
Just need to kick it up a notch here, you know. So she's looking at Jesus, the miracle worker, the one who will what? Do stuff for us. Do you know the word stuff? Do you know the word stuff? That's things. We use it a lot in Texas. Stuff, that stuff and this stuff and whatever.
We got stuff.
You don't even have to know what it is. It's just stuff. Wait a minute. Wasn't that used when David was in Ziglag and they took all the stuff? I'm scriptural. Know ye not the scriptures? And they understood not what he said. All right. So this is her. This is the state of this thing, and Mary has stepped in front of Jesus, and said, "Just do what he says." And Jesus responds, "What, woman? What have I to do with thee?" Jesus, you talk that way about Mother Mary, the mother of God? No, sorry. But, she shouldn't be doing that, right?
That's right.
Well, why is she doing it? Why do we do it? Why do we step in front of Jesus? Because we're after something. Do this, Jesus. Do this for me. Do this for the people. Lord, we're going to have a meeting, and we pray that you'll do this for the people. Well, I pray that we'll all get here and do it for Jesus.
Amen.
That our hearts will not be here, always turned in here, but always towards him. You know, not I, but Christ. Yes. Say it out loud. That's right. Christus in nos. I'm getting it. I'll be speaking this for too long. Not. So I wrote this down. If you are going to have anything to do with him, woman, what have I to do with thee? If you're going to have anything to do with him, it happens at the cross. And we'll see that that's where it's supposed to happen. At the cross is where you will know him. And where he wants to be known, this is the hour that you have to do with him. He said, mine hour is not yet come. Remember that?
Yes.
What is he thinking about when he says that? The cross. The cross. He's going, this isn't the cross. This isn't me. What you're presenting me as is wrong. And what you're doing is you're training people to just expect God to take care of everything instead of our hearts being to pour out on him. You see that? Woman, what have I to do with this? You are misrepresenting me. You are putting me in an opposite light. What was the first commandment? Love yourself. Have you heard this saying? Believe in your selfie. Well, that's the new saying today, you know. Back then it used to be believe in yourself, which still isn't right, but now it's believe in your selfie. So Jesus is basically saying, when he says, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He's saying, if you are only going to know me in this way, you don't know me yet. You will only know me when you know me at the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I preach anything but among you, but you know, Christ and him crucified. That spirit, that heart, that's what Paul had. You know? I mean, I am crucified means my strength, my mind, my will, my... Doesn't it? Not my. So we say not I. Not my. Not all this stuff in here. So let's go to the cross. John chapter 19. Gospel of John chapter 19. Okay, verse 24. Let's do 23, 24, and 25. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And then verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I don't seem like Jesus would have been Mary. There's so many of them in there. Three of them right there. So this is years later, okay? And it's at the cross. And for his mother, it's another loss. I've lost Jesus. I'm about to lose Jesus again. And she's crying. And she's going, this is terrible. You know, God, you know, give me what I want. Now, Jesus wants to die on the cross. He wants to give himself. He's the Lamb of God. But she's going, no, no. And he's going, yes, yes. This is what I came. He says, this is why I came. Says that. And so here she's seeking him sorrowing. Remember?
Yes.
When they lost Jesus the first time. It says they were seeking him sorrowing. Oh, where is Jesus? You know, oh. You know, they didn't know that he had to have that same love for the Father, heart, soul, spirit, the whole being. They didn't understand that that's who he was, his everything. This is the Father's business. This isn't my ministry. This is the Father's business. Is that his business? This is what I must be about. What he's about. And I must do it with all my heart and soul and strength. And I must love in it. Every ounce of it. I love him.
Amen.
I don't love myself and use him. I love him and use up myself.
Amen.
So she's in this situation and it represents a loss. And where is she located? Basically at the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross. Thank you. You're a good helper. I like you. Okay. Don't we want to be at Jesus' feet?
Yes.
Do you remember what I shared this morning about they threw the weak ones and the lame and the blind at the feet of Jesus, and how wonderful that was? But Mary, the mother of Jesus, is at the foot of the cross and she's seeking him sorrowing again. And all she feels is her loss like she did before. Did she understand that he was dying for everyone? No, she didn't understand that then. Nobody did. The Father. All from his birth to when they found him in the temple till he grew up and started his ministry, everything has led to the cross. And she didn't get it, right? Jesus, she's watching him, you know, the process and everything. And he says these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Is she still saying, why does he keep saying Father? Remember, that's what he said. I must be about my... And he's saying it again. And now he's doing it. The Father's business. Now he's doing it and she's seeing it. Is she hearing those words again and going, I don't understand this? Yes, because she didn't. We didn't. None of us. There hasn't been that change. And I think this is in Luke chapter 1, because I only have the verses down, so I'll just read it to you. I didn't put the verses, but you're familiar with this. So just listen. If it is in Luke 1 or 2, it would be verse 34 and 35. You want to check that out, just see. It begins with Simon. When Simon comes in, you remember Simon and Anna? Okay. Okay, it is Luke 2. That's why I didn't put the reference, because it was Luke 2. All right, so we're still in the same chapter as this other part. Verse 34 and 35. And Simon... or Simeon, I guess, sorry, blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Now, what is that referring to? Yeah, his death, the cross. This is it. This is, guess who's standing there holding the baby before Simeon grabbed her? Give me that baby. You don't know what's going on. Let me speak the real word of God.
You don't understand the speak the word before.
Help her then. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, he's a little baby.
Yes.
Okay. And Simeon is, he stayed in the temple. In the temple. That's where they found Jesus. You know, maybe he's going back going, where's that guy that spoke the word of God? I need to get out of this house and get some word.
Oh, God.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can explain all that. But so when Mary and Joseph come in with the baby, Simeon is like a prophet. And he comes there and he picks up the baby and he holds him up, I guess, and he prophesies the word of God over him. And in these words, he's talking about that Jesus will be spoken. He'll be a sign and he'll be spoken against. Well, when the Jews asked for a sign, he said, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And he showed how that represented the cross. The sign of the cross. That's what I give you. That's what I always give you. It's always going to point to the cross. So Mary is standing there. And then it goes, he doesn't finish there, verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All right. So she is, so this is the fact that you're going to be there, which she was. You're going to be there at the foot of the cross. And this is speaking about the cross, but you didn't understand it. She didn't understand these words. She didn't understand when Jesus was found in the temple. She didn't understand it at the foot of the cross. And her soul was being pierced. Her soul. You know, mind, will, and emotions. Yeah. Seeking him, sorrowing. You know, where's my son? What have you done to my son? And Jesus is not being murdered. You know the word murdered? You do. Jesus was not murdered. He was a sacrifice. A willing sacrifice. Willing. It was in his heart to lay down his life for the Father and for us. For others. He was... remember he said to the man, basically he's saying your motives are wrong because you're trying to get something for you and you're trying to come to me to get me to twist the reality of God's heart and make it about you. No, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength and your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is dying for the Lord God that he loves with all his heart, soul, and strength. And his neighbor, that's us.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. So let's look at verse 50 and 52. This is the end of when Jesus was lost and they found him in the temple. And this will be my closing verse. This is Luke 2, verse 50 through up to 52. And this is pertaining to Joseph and Mary after they found him and are taking him home. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus goes home. Jesus goes home. And he continues to grow in favor with God and with man. But he continues to grow in favor with God. And Mary goes home, and she does not continue to grow in knowledge and in favor. And I wrote down, she does not even know what she gave birth to. Do we, you know, we're born again, right? Of what? Incorruptible seed, the scriptures say. It's Christ. He's that incorruptible thing. And do we really know what we're giving birth to? Do we even know we're supposed to sort of bring forth Christ out of us to the world? Or are we more, because, you know, Paul said that. Paul said, I pray for you. I pray, I travail in birth. Like someone having a baby, except that's not a symbol or a picture. That's a real thing. We are travailing to bring forth Christ. I travail in birth. She wants the truth. She wants the word.
Yes, yes.
And she's hungry.
Yes.
And I don't mind you doing that at all. Praise God. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus, you know, that says, you know, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody's going, hey, shh, quiet. And she goes, Jesus, Jesus, give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, I just, this is, as I said, this is the beginning tonight. Tomorrow night I'm going to share some different scriptures, but I want to build on this because there's so much more. And by the third night, hopefully it will be an explosion. Okay, so I'm planting seeds right now, putting the seeds in the ground, and maybe by the third day he'll rise from the dead out of us. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for you. Yeah, go ahead.
I was when you were talking about blessings, the Lord showed me this many years ago. We were in Asheville, I think. And I was thanking him for the blessing. You know, and just thanking him. And then he stopped me and he said, do you want to know what I mean by blessings? Part of me was, and he said, blessings are anything that brings you to me.
Good. Perfect.
It changed the way I prayed about it.
Man. Boy, I'd love to tell you about a person that I can't name that got the Lord and gave the Lord today. And so if I don't give their name, maybe they won't be mad at me for telling this story. But, you know, my heart isn't just here with these seats and my heart is that we give the Father His Son, that He gets Jesus. That we be of one heart and one spirit, and that's why we come, and that's so that we can truly partake of Him, to not just hear sermons, you know, sermons, preaching, but we can eat His flesh and drink His blood. And so we were in here seeking the Lord and worshiping, and a person got locked out of here. Just the doors were locked and they couldn't get in. You know, one of us. And they couldn't get in. And they're here and came a long way to get the Lord. And, you know, checked. And so they decided, they sat down on the front porch. And, you know, at first some thoughts can come. You know how it can be. Why did they lock me out? You know, they locked me out. You know, I'm not a part of this. You know what I mean? You go through it. Don't you have feelings and stuff? It happens to all of us. And so it was a girl. And she began to pray. Yeah. Yeah, that ought to narrow it down since we only got like three guys here, four. If I said he, you'd have gone, oh, I know who that was. Because you were here, Randy, and so was da 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 da. Anyway, and just started praying. Lord, bless the meeting. Fill them with your Son. When a thought would come, you know, well, this is da 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 da. They would say, this is not about me, it's about Him. Is that beautiful?
Yes.
It's not about me, it's about Him. No chair out there. It's not about me, it's about Him. And there's more to it, but you can't imagine how deeply that touched me. I can't tell you. Those kind of stories are way more important than almost anything that happens here. Because we can be religious. But it's hard to be religious when it's kind of cold out there and the wind's blowing and you're, uncomfortable. And you say, you know, Lord, I don't even want to have one thought about me. May you bless these folks. May they really get you. I mean, if I knew it, I'd have gone out there. I'd have left the meeting and gone out there and joined with that. That's what I love. That's what I want. That's spirit rising a sweet incense to the Father. You know, incense? Should be a the no incense. What is it? What's the word?
Smell.
That's a well. I know that, but you need to tell them. But yeah, a good smell to the Lord. That's great. Please come back next year.
If I can.
If you can, and if the Lord wills.
Yes.
Amen. But I'll be praying. Amen. So, do we want to just, anybody just want special prayer? And we'll just pray this prayer, this thing that Jesus said, oh Lord, that we might seek Him with all of our heart and soul and strength. And not be focused on ourselves and what we can get from Him, but what we can give back.
Yes.
So if you want to come up here, we can pray. I can move some things. And we'll just pray together. Whoever wants to come, you don't have to come. You don't have to come. But I just know it's time to pray. Won't you move a little forward? I won't bite you. I don't bite. I might sneeze on you, but I don't bite. Not really, I don't. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I was going to say, so what I'm getting from this is everybody wants the Lord except Caitlin, but then she got in here. I know. Amen. And I want you all to know, too, before we pray, is Caitlin and Lindsay and just about everybody here on some level. But these two, like Caitlin's having to be on the camera the whole time, and she would rather not have to focus, but on her and her spirit, she wants Jesus, and she wants Jesus not just from the teaching, but for that sweet smell to God.
Amen.
And so thank you, and Lindsay also, for what all y'all do during this time. Well, let's just do this together.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we are so blessed that you brought us together. And we're not just in this room, we're at your feet, Jesus. We want you. We want to bless you. We want to pour out on you. We want you to be so worked into us that we are not focused on us, and that we can literally, in the face of things that come to mind that demand our rights, say what this person said. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you have many things you're going to do during these times, not just in the gatherings, but as what I described that was quote-unquote outside the camp and full of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May we have many, many encounters with you outside of here and wherever we are, because we love you, Jesus, and we don't want to just talk this stuff. We want it to be real, and we want it to be our life's focus and desire, is to bring you glory and to bless you and Father, that the sweet incense of your Son would rise out of us, overriding so many selfish thoughts that we have, and so many thoughts of control, and so many thoughts of wanting everything to be right and all of this, but that we could just live free. We could live free. Free in you, free by your spirit and your nature, free as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. So, Father, thank you for the ones you've gathered and the ones that are yet to come. Lord, let our hearts just be moved on by your spirit, who is a sweet dove, the Holy Spirit, that will speak to us, even in our sleep, of the beauty of Jesus, the beauty of him, working on us to form him in us, working and ministering and lifting up, making him happy because he gets to lift up the Son, Father, that the reason you sent him for this. We thank you. And Father, we hold on to one another. We hold on till we all come. We all want to come together because we're all your body. And we all have the same desire. And we all preach the same thing, Christ and Him crucified. And they all, and we all long that You increase and we decrease. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Anybody else have something you want to pray over us? Feel free. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Dear God, I want to thank You that I can come here with my sisters. And I feel the friendship and the love
thank you, Jesus.
Of God in every person here. I want to thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessed be Your name.
We just thank You and love You that Your motive is so pure to the Father.
Amen.
And we just want to believe. I want to believe for myself and everyone, Lord, that it is Your heart for You to grow in us in that way, that our motive will not be towards us, Lord, that it is about You. We want that motive, Your heart in us to grow. And we say yes towards the Father.
Amen.
Your own mother, Mary, didn't get it. She heard from God. He chose her. She birthed you. She walked with you for 12 years. She didn't get it. She didn't get it when you died at 33 years. She didn't get it any time. Lord, if that woman was chosen by God to carry you to the
Lord, amen.
I don't get it. So I have to hear from You.
Yes, Lord.
I have to lay down all my mind, all my thinking, all my thoughts, all my understanding, all the scriptures I know, everything.
That's right.
Everything I've done so far, Lord, I lay it down.
Hallelujah.
And may You, Christ, have Your way.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord. Lord, even if I don't get it, may my brothers and sisters get it.
Yes.
Thank You.
Amen. Amen.
Thank You.
Well, let me give you one more surprise then. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, in one accord, gathered. They were hungry. They were seeking the Lord because none of them got it. The disciples didn't get it. And they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years and they were hungry and they didn't understand, but they were still seeking the Lord. There was one person maybe you didn't know was there.
Gave the name.
It was Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. She was there. You read it. It's in the Bible. She was there. And the Catholic Mary spoke in tongues. She doesn't want me to tell that. And she received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to teach her Christ just like He's teaching us. Isn't that good news? So if there's hope for her, there's hope for
us.
Amen. All right. Love you guys.